You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Nick Doherty.
Hello and a warm welcome to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with me, Robert Lee, and special guest Nick Doherty as we look back at the Lioness Open powered by Greenfinity and the triumph for England's Chris Wood.
I had a target in mind to break 68. If I did that, I felt I might have an outside chance. But obviously, things worked out my way. It looks comfortable on paper, but it never was.
We'll be speaking exclusively to Chris later in the show. Wood claimed his second European Tour title after overcoming the challenge of Spain's Rafa Cabrera Bello. And away from the events in Austria, we'll be heading stateside to preview the US Open in the company of legendary golf broadcaster Bob Bubka. And a very warm welcome, Nick. Quite a busy week last week for you and me.
Yeah, it was a good time out there, Rob. Extremely hot, really tough conditions for the players, but they made the course look really quite easy most of the time. Obviously, on the Sunday, it proved to be a little more challenging.
Yeah, how tricky was the golf course? Because it was firm and there were a lot of sort of gusty cross breezes in the final day, particularly.
When we drove around the course early in the week, just to check it out, I thought it was a really challenging golf course. Difficult driving, pinched in fairways with the driver. It's long still as well, 7,417 yards. I mean, it's a treacherous golf course, and then it was drying out as well. So whenever a course browns up or crusts up, it becomes difficult to control the ball, doesn't it? So I thought, you know, 7-8 under par might get it done, but Gregory Bordy threw three rounds 15 under par. I mean, there was some phenomenal golf played there, but yes, on the Sunday, wind picked up. It was a wholly different prospect.
Bordy had the two-shot buffer going into the final round, and with the way he'd played leading from the wire on Thursday, did you think he was probably going to be the winner?
Oh, absolutely. I thought no one else could win that tournament. I mean, Cabrera Bello did show signs of some brilliance out there. I mean, he had an eagle holdout shot during the tournament as well. He hit some amazing shots throughout the event. Just didn't quite have the consistency of Bordy. A couple more errors out there. Looked like it might go wrong, and his short game is a touch suspect at times, although his long game is phenomenal, whereas Bordy just didn't put a foot wrong, drove the ball supremely well. Cabrera Bello and Bordy were tied for greens in regulation heading into the last round. 87% of greens in reg. You just don't see that week in, week out on tour. So they were playing great golf. And then on the Sunday, well, they just pulled each other down. I mean, they really couldn't get anything going. And the golf from both players was really quite poor on the Sunday.
Yeah, they didn't get it going. And of course, their demise was all to the benefit of Chris Wood, who was absolutely phenomenal. And I'm delighted to say that Chris is on the line right now. Chris, how's it feel to be a winner again?
Feels great, Rob. Been a while since I last won, obviously Qatar a couple of years ago, but I've had my ups and downs on and off the course, I suppose. So to lift a trophy and get my hands on a trophy again is just the best feeling.
Did you feel it coming? Did you have a sense that, you know, the game's building, there's something going to happen soon? Did you get that sort of feeling?
Yeah, I did. The last month or so, I've really been playing much better. But as you know, you can be putting in good performances and sort of top 10, that sort of thing, but to win takes a little bit more, and you'd never quite know if it's going to happen or when it's going to happen. So yeah, it's a bit of relief, but you know, the fact that you feel it has been coming, you sort of feel like you've almost earned it. But yeah, it's never easy to win.
Congratulations, mate. I thought that was a stunning performance yesterday. I just wanted to know, you've just started working with Mike Walker again, haven't you? Or he's really started to help you with your game. What big changes has he made with you?
Yeah, I've started with Mike about a month ago. I've been with my coach, Paul Mitchell, for 14 years. He's taken me from a 10 handicap to obviously winning in Qatar and to the point where I am now. But I've been struggling the last year or so, and we both sort of felt like it was time for a little break. And to be honest, Mike, yeah, we've made a couple of little small changes, but not an awful lot. Yeah, he said to me last week, to be honest, I see this job is quite easy. So, yeah, it's a lot of credit to the work Paul and I have done. But it's just simplified a lot of things in my mind. So, yeah, it's been a good move.
We saw the rehearsal you were doing before you were hitting each shot going down the shaft. Just run us through what you're trying to achieve there, because it looked like if you were going to miss anywhere, it was to the right-hand side. But was that because there was a fear of the miss to the left? Is that what you're battling when you're working at the moment? There was virtually no bad shots, mind you, but is that what you're working at?
Yeah, I've been struggling with a left shot for a good year now. I play my best golf when I hit the ball left to right, and drill is basically trying to encourage me to get the club down a little bit quicker to hit a release fade, is what Mike sort of calls it, instead of trying to swing hard left with your body to try and cut it when the club can get left behind me. So it's been quite an easy thing to do. It came to me quite quickly. Yeah, it's nice to feel like I can take a bit of form and carry it over each week.
How fit are you now, Chris?
Yeah, pretty good, Rob. Back-wise, it's been great for a couple of years. And obviously the wrist, I had the all clear from Doug Campbell, the tour wrist specialist, on Wednesday at Wentworth. I saw him. So more than anything, that was a massive lift to my sort of confidence, really, because yeah, it was a long winter. sat on the sofa watching the boys play in the Middle East, you know, and it's snowing and raining outside in Bristol and it's 30 degrees out in Dubai. It's pretty hard to watch. So that was a huge step forward. Always good.
Are you reassessing your targets for the year now you've had this week in Austria?
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, after the injury, I sort of slumped down to about 190, I think, in the world ranking. The initial target was to get myself back in the top 100, time for the USPGA. Obviously, fourth at Wentworth was a big help, and top 20 in Ireland, and then obviously last week as well. So I think I'm sort of about 80th now. So I just sort of feel like the only way is up, really. Yeah, and it's been a while since I've been feeling like that.
Well, we've got some good news for you, Chris. You're not actually 80th, you're 78th, so you're actually even better than you thought you were. Closing in on that top 50, it's a wholly different thing. You did reference last week that once you get in the top 50, it's hard to fall out of it. And, you know, is that something you'd like to do? Can you see yourself playing a lot more in the States as well as you go along?
I mean, I've always said that my tour is the European tour. And, you know, I've loved every minute the last 6 or 7 years I've been on there. As much as the US appeals to a lot of players, I'm a homeboy and I do like it on the European tour. I've got all my friends and, yeah, there is a balance you've got to find. But obviously, a lot of the sort of World Golf Championships are in the States. But that's hopefully down the line, those decisions will have to be made. But, for the meantime, I'm really happy on the European Tour.
Listen, a fantastic performance last week. Brilliant win. And I don't think the next one's that far away.
I hope not. I hope you're right, Rob.
Well done, Chris. Thank you so much.
Congratulations, mate.
Thanks, Nick. Bye.
Bye-bye. I honestly believe that. I think the third win is not far away. His second tour win in his 169th European Tour event. It's his third top four finish from 9 events played in the 2015 season. And he's up to 78th in the world, Nick, which is a position where you can spring from and make that top 50.
Oh, absolutely. And being in the top 100 makes such a difference. But when you get to 78th, you're really one big week away from scraping into that top 50. And as he said himself, you know, once you get in there, it is difficult to fall away. You are getting in all the big tournaments, the majors, the World Golf Championship. And with his sort of golf game, his consistency that he's starting to show and the swing changes that he's made are clearly starting to make him into an even better player. I think Chris is going to continue to climb up there and there's a good chance by the end of the year he could even get towards that top 20 in the world.
Wow, that's a big call and definitely possible the way he plays. He's a very fine looking player. Now, as we heard, Chris Wood overcame the challenge of Spain's Rafa Cabrera Bello. Let's hear from the runner-up.
Obviously disappointed, but it's been a very good week. I've played a really good golf. Been up there again, fighting till the very last hole, pretty much. Was tougher out there today. Wind picked up a little. Things were tricky, and again, I struggled a little on the greens. 9, 10, and 11, I made 3 bogeys in a row without doing that much wrong, and it proved to be hard to catch up. And Chris obviously played great today. He played good on the stretch. He birdied both par 5, so he made it, in the end, impossible for me to catch him.
He's a good swinger, a good hitter, isn't he, Rafa?
He certainly is. And tee to green, you'd have to say he's one of the best players on tour. He's been in the top 20 in greens regulation on tour for the last 3 years. So he's clearly consistent in what he does. There is a slight question mark over his short game sometimes, which is unique in itself. I mean, how many Spaniards do we ever say if there was ever a question mark in the game, it's the short game. But I think it was a good, solid week. I think he has to be disappointed, though. He was in great position there. And with Gregory Bordy frittering away the opportunity to win, he should have stepped through the door. Didn't quite happen, but you'd have to say that's a combination of errors from Rafa, and especially when he hit the front, it was immediately when he got the lead that he started to make errors, and 3 bogeys in a row around the turn, albeit on the hardest part of the golf course, was always going to be enough to let someone who's playing the sort of golf that Chris Wood was through the door.
Well, we talked about Gregory Bordy. He didn't have a final round. It was 78 in the end after going in as the leader. Let's hear from the Frenchman reflecting on that final round.
Disappointing day, disappointing finish. So I'm waiting for the next tournament.
What happened? Because you've been in such wonderful form throughout the week.
Yeah, I did a mistake on the second hole. I didn't make any birdies after this one, so I wasn't in a very good move, and so I missed a few shots and didn't get the putts when I had some chances. So, yeah, just a bad one.
You've got to be philosophical, haven't you, when you've had a bad final round like that. You had 3 fantastic rounds, and then, bang, you get the nightmare on Sunday.
Yeah, I think that's that shows a great sign of maturity and the experience of a player like Gregory Bordy. I mean, that's a horrible day for him. There's no way that he could honestly say going into that last round he wouldn't have felt that I am the best player in this field. I'm due. He's a 4-time winner. He knows how to get over the line. 3 of those 4 wins he's done from the front all the way through. He was going to go wire to wire. But the best bit was his game was just so flawless. He was a step above everybody else in that field for 3 days. So to see that happen on the Sunday was so surprising to everybody, and I'm sure it really shocked him, and maybe that was the problem. The double bogey on the second hole, the terrible iron shot that was pulled into the water, he just never recovered. And sometimes that happens when you've played such good quality golf for such a long time for the tournament, and, you know, two bogeys in the whole of the first 54 holes. It really knocks you off your guard when something bad happens, and he never recovered, and he battled all day long. He just couldn't stop hitting it left.
Well, thanks to Nick Dyer for the interviews, of course, as he always contributes to the Race to Dubai show. But, you know, talking about bad, away from the top of the leaderboard, we have to mention the unfortunate Andrei Pavlov of Russia. After the first round, he shot 71, and he was on his way to becoming the first Russian to make a cut in the European Tour. And then on the opening hole of round two, the first hole, the par five, 17 he had after dumping six balls in the lake. You can't recover from that, can you?
The first hole of the day, it couldn't have happened at a worse time. But, you know, these things do happen in golf. Thankfully for him, it's not the very worst that we've ever seen. I think a Frenchman holds that record. But
Philippe Pourquier had a 20.
Yeah, that's a big number. A big number. I spoke to Thomas Levé yesterday, and he asked the gent about that when he made the 20, and he said, after 14, I stopped trying. So I just think it's one of those things, how do you keep count?
Highest score for you, Nick, in any hole?
My highest, I've had 10. I think I made an 11 at Carnoustie in the last hole. Yeah, the last hole at Carnoustie at the Dunhill a couple of years ago, which was a pleasurable experience. Obviously,
nice.
Worst moment completely, though, would be at Fancourt in the Die Data tournament there on their tour, running out of balls on the 16th, which was fortunate because I was heading for 90.
You ran out of balls?
Yeah, ran out of balls, which is disqualification. It wasn't my finest moment, I'd say, but yeah, these things do happen.
And I think
you have to be fairly humble with them, don't you?
But, yeah, you have. I shot 13 at the 13th at Las Brisas on my way to a 90. And funnily enough, I was one over after 12, which on a windy day was pretty good around there, and then 13. And then I just sort of, in a blind trance, made my way to the 18th and looked at the card and it said 90. Not good. But 20, way underneath the 20 of Philippe Pourquier. Fantastico. Top 10, please, Nick, in Austria, if you've got that.
Tight ninth. We saw the Frenchman Gary Stahl and Mikko Kohonen. They're both at minus -8 and tied sixth. Three players, John Hahn, Christopher Broberg from Sweden, and of course, the very disappointed Gregory Bordy, finishing 9-under in the end, dropping six shots to 78 on that final day. Tied third, three players. Nice moves on the final day from Robert Rock, Robert Dinwiddie as well, and Matthew Fitzpatrick, all finishing 10-under par, and Fitzpatrick will be delighted with his progress up the leaderboard. And in second, Rafa Cabrera-Bello, 13-under, still picks up 166,660 euros. So not a bad week all in all, but it could have been better for the Spaniard. And of course, we all know first place, a great win. A second win for Chris Wood, minus 15, and a check for 250,000 euros.
And the top 10, Nick, in the Race to Dubai standings.
Alex Noren, obviously off the back of his win at the Nordea, climbing up to 10th. Miguel Angel Jimenez in 9th place. Brandon Grace in 8th. Louis Westhuizen, another South African up there in 7th place. Tongchai Jaidi just won't go away. Goodness me, must be about 105 years old now, but in 6th place. Bernd Wiesberger, a horrible week for him, unfortunately, in his home country, but will be hoping for far better out at the US Open this week. Why not? He's been playing great golf after all. Justin Rose, very nearly clinching another Memorial title in 4th. Han Byung-hun, the PGA winner at Wentworth just recently from Korea. Second, Danny Willett, he's playing some great golf on both sides of the Atlantic this year. And of course, first place, as we'd expect, Rory McIlroy.
Now, fancy Race to Dubai tips. I went for Nicholas Coulthard, who finished 66th. And ordinarily, you would think, you know, on a tipping week, that's not going to win. But Euan Murray went for Tyrrell Hatton, who missed the cut. So although I haven't made anybody any coin this week, I did finish in front of Euan, which, at the end of the day, small mercies. And to pick your fantasy team, visit europeantour.com/myeuropeantour. Now, in other news, Peter Fowler continued his incredible recent form by claiming a second consecutive European Senior Tour title at the ISPS Handa PGA Seniors Championship. Fowler beat Austria's Gordon Manson by three shots at Close House in Newcastle. Scotland's Jamie McCleary captured his second European Challenge Tour title 6 years after the first, thanks to a 5-under par 67 in the final round of the KPMG Trophy in Belgium. England's Greg Owen missed out on his first PGA Tour title after being outgunned in the final round of the St Jude Classic by Fabian Gomez. Owen and Gomez shared the lead overnight, but the Argentine shot a closing 4-under par 66 to clinch his maiden PGA Tour victory by four shots. Phil Mickelson finished in the five-way tie for third. Greg Owen, he has been trying and trying and trying to win an event on the PGA Tour, and it very nearly happened yesterday.
Oh, we all felt for him. That is such a shame. Because he was a great player when he played in Europe. Obviously, what I remember him winning at the British Masters not long after I came on tour. And then he goes over to the States, plays some really nice golf, finds his feet out there, and he absolutely should have clinched the Bay Hill Invitational quite a few few years ago, and who can forget that four-putt double bogey five on the 17th hole at Bay Hill, and things just never really came back from there for Greg, and it's been some tough times for him since, but he's stuck with it, and well, we all felt yesterday it was going to happen, having the lead going into that last round, but unfortunately, even par on a Sunday on the PGA Tour just doesn't get it done very often.
Still, big, big check, and I would think pretty much enough money to keep his card for next year, so there are pluses for him, and he knows he's playing well, so well done to Greg Owen. What about Phil Mickelson? A little bit of form coming into the US Open?
I find it hard to watch Mickelson these days because, I mean, I love to watch his short game. In his prime, he's phenomenal. His iron play has always been really quite good, but he just misses so many fairways now. And you just think, how can you win? I mean, it's hard to question it because, of course, he's been runner-up so many times in the US Open. But I just think his driving's getting worse and his short game maybe isn't quite as spectacular as it once was. Don't get me wrong, I give everything I have in my bank for it, but I just don't think he's going to be able to stand the test of a really strong US Open. I just don't think he drives it quite well enough because although there is a bit of space out there at Chambers Bay, there's also lots of rubbish too, and I think Phil might be finding some of it.
Okay, world rankings ahead of the second major of the year.
In 10th place, Jason Day. In 9th, Ricky Fowler, having a wonderful season, Players' Champion. 8th, Sergio Garcia, close but no cigar for Sergio quite often this year already. 7th, Dustin Johnson. 6th, Henrik Stenson, the Swede, still hanging around there. 5th, Justin Rose, playing some lovely golf. Didn't quite close out Memorial, but, well, he's threatening, that's for sure. Then 3 Americans in a row. In 4th place, Bubba Watson. 3rd, Jim Furyk. Goodness me, another player who's been around for a long time that just won't go away. 2nd, the other end of the spectrum, Jordan Spieth, the young man who's showing it that he's got a very, very big golf game. And of course, he's in hot pursuit of the world number one and has been for a good while now, Rory McIlroy from Northern Ireland.
Well, thanks, Nick. Okay, let's focus on the second major of the year now, the US Open Championship at Chambers Bay, which starts on Thursday. And I'm pleased to say that we're joined on the line by legendary golf broadcaster Bob Bubka. Bob, how are you?
Doing great, guys. I mean, it's US Open week. And if you're not excited and you're a golf fan, then there's something wrong. And especially this year, there are really so many unknowns about Chambers Bay. It has no history. This is a big gamble by the United States Golf Association, motivated primarily by the fact that they want to bring their national championship to somewhere in the northwest of the United States. I mean, such a concentration of U.S. Opens on the East Coast. Phil Mickelson was there. He actually said he liked the place. He thought it was challenging, but that's based on, one or two practice rounds. When that bell rings on Thursday and everything's for real, we'll see how that course accepts the best players in the world or rejects the best players. And the introduction of uneven tees, a hole or two being switched from par 4 to a par 5 and then maybe back to a par 4, depending on wind conditions. I mean, all things that have never been done in the U.S. Open. We may have several of them occur this week.
I think I read, Bob, a couple of weeks ago that Jordan Spieth's caddy is from Chambers Bay. That's his course. That's where he's from.
No, you're right about that. So he may have, more knowledge than any other player.
Well, that's where I'm going with it.
Jordan Spieth has the heavy burden of being the only player eligible to win the Grand Slam this year by virtue of the fact that he won the United States Masters. Having a caddy that knows the golf course, it can't hurt, but will it help him enough to get the second major of the 2015 campaign? That's a big ask for a 21-year-old. It's been very difficult for him to get his feet back on the ground after putting on that Masters jacket.
And Bob, what kind of golf is it going to take to win this? Is it going to take a combination of the straight driver, the short game expert, the good distance putter, the wind player, the links player? It looks like this place has got it all, but what kind of play? If you could just have one of those things, which one would it be to play well around this course?
From the early reports that I've received, the guy that's going to be able to drive his golf ball, it doesn't really have to be long, but it has to be strategically placed in the fairway so that you have a proper angle into these greens. So it starts on the tee. If the prime position is left side, you better be on the left side of the fairway. And that's a huge demand on players every single hole to feel that pressure that they not only have to get it in the fairway, which I might add are a little bit wider than the normal fairways. One hole, I think it's 13, if I'm correct, is well over 100 yards wide. You know, an average U.S. Open fairway is about 27 yards wide.
Well, let's get a European view from Wales, Oliver Farr, who, like many, has been checking out the course online.
Yeah, I've had a little look. I have to admit, it's something that I'm looking forward to getting out there and experiencing, I think, what's going to be a very challenging week around the greens from what I've seen, and we'll see what we get when we get there on Monday.
Preparation is all very well and good, but you can kind of burn out. You can play it too many times. You can just put too much in there. And when the gun goes off on Thursday, you're sort of a bit fatigued.
I mean, most players, especially ones without the experience, very often will get there on a Sunday. And that'll mean they'll play Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And of course, by the time you get to Thursday, you're exhausted. And also, the course has beaten you up because let's not forget, these are really hard golf courses. It doesn't necessarily do the psyche particularly any good going out there and shooting 78 every day right before you start playing it. So a lot of the top players turn up a couple of weeks before, maybe even longer, play it a couple of times, get a feel for it, go away, work on the shots that they need to. It's always in the mind and the preparation for what they're doing. The average European golfer, someone like Oliver's not going to really have got to do that. So when he turns up there, he's going to have to try and learn a golf course, which, well, from what we can make out, is not the sort of golf course you can learn even in 2 or 3 days. So I think this is going to be challenging. The only good thing is that the older players who you'd say, well, they've been around a long time and seen all these places, well, maybe not, because it seems like we're playing a bit of a one-off golf course here.
Yeah, I don't think most people drop in conveniently to the northwest corner of the United States. Well, one man who's just pleased to be heading out there is England's Jason Palmer, who, despite having to pull out of last week's event in Austria with a wrist injury, is determined to tee off in the US Open.
I will definitely be heading over to the US Open, make no mistake about that. I'll be doing whatever I can between now and then to get the wrist right, get some proper diagnosis. I'll be there. Might be a bit patched up, but I'll be there and I'm hopefully going to be teeing it up. I'm so excited to be, you know, playing in a major, playing in the US Open is a dream come true for me. So to potentially have that chance slipping through my fingers is pretty painful right now.
How annoying to, you know, qualify, get there, the anticipation, then you injure yourself the week before. And, well, I guess where he is right now, I don't know how his injury is, but it's kind of up in the air. He's not sure, is he?
But he seems pretty sure that he's going to play regardless. So I hope it does come good for him. That is frustrating. Playing in your first US Open is a really special occasion, one that you can only have once, of course. So hopefully he'll come good for it.
Yeah, and he's copied your technique, Bob, chipping with one hand, Jason.
Well, you know, whatever works for some players. And maybe it's going to be somebody that we would never suspect, somebody that's going to be able to come out of the pack. If the executive director is saying that, you know, a lot's going to depend on some luck when you hit your shots in there, that certainly makes it an unknown quantity and makes it something very intriguing. But there's just a myriad of storylines available to us, probably in the order of importance. Can Phil Mickelson, after finishing second 6 times in a U.S. Open, needs a U.S. Open to complete his Grand Slam? Can he get it done? On the European side, I'm anticipating seeing a refreshed Rory McIlroy after missing a couple of his last 2 cuts. I think he's gotten some time to rest, relax, mentally prepare. I mean, when he's in full song, there's nobody that could attack a golf course like Rory McIlroy. And then, you know, you look at players like a Luke Donald. Will this be his first major? A Lee Westwood, will it be his? And then potentially the biggest story of them all, what does Tiger do? You know, Tiger could not make the cut, finish dead last, or Tiger could be in contention and win on Sunday. That's how much of an unknown factor it is with Tiger Woods. So if you want intrigue and you want suspense, you know, this is a great U.S. Open to follow.
How about some of the draws, Bob, that they put together? The three J's, Jason, Justin, and Jordan.
I think that benefits all three of those guys. You know, they all get along, the youngsters.
Does the winner, Bob, come from this group? Dustin Johnson, Sergio Garcia, and Adam Scott.
Great possibility. And maybe the strongest of that three is Dustin Johnson. Dustin can literally overpower a golf course. He's going to be swinging hard. If those long drives end up in the right places on a consistent basis for a week, he could run away with it. If those long drives of Dustin Johnson start going a little bit offline, he may not make the cut.
There's one interesting one. You mentioned about driving the ball straight, and if we look at a group, and that's Hideki Matsuyama, Graham McDowell, and Matt Kuchar. Really solid players, gritty players that'll hang tough in a US Open format. Do they stand a good chance? Because, again, they do drive the ball particularly well.
Hideki Matsuyama is a real deal. He's a very shy young man, but once you get to know him a little bit, he's very congenial, and he has massive talent. He certainly could come away with the title. Adam Scott, he's putting Stevie Williams, a longtime Tiger caddy. Stevie literally retired, but Adam Scott convinced him to come on back. Let's do the U.S. Open, St. Andrews, the PGA Championship. You can have some fun. I can possibly win my second major. So that's another storyline that we're going to be looking at extremely close.
Time to put your money where your mouth is. Who do you fancy? You can have an American, or you can have a world player, actually, and a European.
Unlike any other U.S. Open or any other major where I had strong feelings about player X or player Y, I think I'll just put my hand in this giant fishbowl that I have alongside of me with all the names of all the entries, and let's see what name comes out. Wow. On the American side, Jim Furyk, a former U.S. Open winner. He's old enough, wise enough to be able to accept maybe some of the unique challenges that can await the entire field as they tee off on Thursday on the world stage, obviously, and the European stage. I don't know if when Rory McIlroy comes back, if he is well-rested and sharp mentally, there's not a player in this field that can play the kind of golf that Rory McIlroy can generate. His name came out of my fishbowl also.
You know, Bob, you should be playing the state lottery this weekend because you put your hand into the fishbowl and pulled out the world number one and the world number three. Things are going your way, buddy.
Yeah, my fingers are sticky for those good players.
Okay, Nick, how about yourself?
Well, I couldn't agree more with Bob, with Rory McIlroy, but of course it does depend on which Rory turns up. If it's the guy that struggled in Ireland, then there's absolutely no chance he can win this tournament because he didn't drive the ball well. But we know his secret weapon, the thing that makes him so much better than everybody else, is that when he is on, he drives the ball an absolute country mile and he is laser-like in his accuracy, which is exactly what Bob was saying is required to win round here. However, I do think that the European that's got the best chance of winning is Justin Rose. He's really starting to find some form again. A gritty player, drives the ball particularly well, drove the ball fantastically well at Memorial. Unfortunately, didn't quite pan out for him in the playoff there, but is playing great golf. And the American that I really think can carry this away, no surprises here, Jordan Spieth, for a couple of reasons. One, he's playing some of the best golf in the world at the moment, but I do think that that advantage with his caddy, knowing that golf course particularly well, there's no one that's going to be able to have that sort of information. And I think as much as it's nice to have played it yourself, just having someone that you trust and that you back, be able to tell you, just hit it there, Jordan, trust me, hit it over there, it's going to turn from this point. I think it will be such an advantage for him. And he doesn't really even need one, let's be honest.
No, he's playing some really good stuff. And that's I think the caddy deal with Jordan's potentially huge. I'm going to agree with Bob and go with Jim Furyk. I just think it's going to be a test of patience. Can you stay in it when everyone else is tumbling? And I think Jim Furyk, at the end of four rounds, will still be standing and will have the sort of mental patience to just hang in there and roll with the punches. It's that sort of golf course. You're not going to dominate it and you're not going to go blemish-free. Stuff's going to happen. But I think Furyk, the way he's playing up to the world number three position, could be on course for his second US Open. And I'm going to have a little outsider, a little European outsider. I'm going to go with Alex Noren because he won the Nordea Masters. He's a shot maker by nature. He likes to hit the shot that is asked for as opposed to, I'll put my shot in there. And I think there's going to be a lot of that at Chambers Bay. You're going to have to hit a certain shot because the hole, the green, the setting demands it. And if you don't hit that, it's not going to work for you. Bob, thanks as always for your incredible input into this show and for getting up at an ungodly hour to join us on the Race to Dubai show.
Good working with you, Nick. Thanks, Robert. And I hope everybody gets an opportunity in one form or another, whether you listen to it on the radio or you see something on television, or maybe you're one of the lucky ones that are going to be out there. I'm just really hoping deep down inside that the USGA comes away next week saying, well, we pulled out a gem in Chambers Bay because this was a great U.S. Open.
Well, it's great to speak to Bob. He just knows so much, a font of knowledge. But I was shocked and amazed that he didn't bring up your performance back in 2007 in the US Open.
Well, it was one of the great moments in US Open history, Rob, after all, my tied seventh. All joking aside, you know, I've been lucky enough to win three times on tour, but my favourite moment would be that US Open for a few reasons. One, I led it, and to lead the US Open is, well, it's an amazing feeling. I can only imagine what it's like to actually win the US Open, but to lead it after round one was a pretty sensational feel by one shot from Cabrera, who went on to win it, of course. But I also played with Tiger Woods in the third round. He played a phenomenal round of golf that day. And it was, yeah, it was a pretty draining event, but I loved every single minute of it. And then to end up playing really quite nicely with him and play well the next day to finish seventh was, it's a unique feeling. I think once you've had your first top 10 in a major championship, but particularly one on a golf course like Oakmont, which was really, really challenging, I felt like I was good enough to play with the rest of the players in the world, like the top players in the world. The US Open was always my favourite because it was the very first major championship that I played. I played in Michael Campbell's US Open win at Pinehurst, 2005.
2005, yeah.
And it was the best tournament I'd ever seen. I'd never seen crowds like that, lining the fairway like six deep on a Monday in a practice round. I was playing on my own. It was just, I just thought, wow, I've made, this is it.
You were Billy.
Yeah, this is what I signed up for.
Just to recap then, you have picked who?
I've picked Justin Rose and Jordan Spieth.
And I'm going with Jim Furyk and Alex Noren. Surprise European package. Gritty little Swedish player. Excellent stuff. And Bob has gone for the shock picks of the world number one, the world number three, Rory McIlroy and Jim Furyk. Before we go, Nick, your next event will be what?
I'm looking forward to actually playing again on the tour. BMW International Open in Munich next week.
Of course you've won on.
It is indeed, yeah. So it's always nice to go back, get some good memories, some good feelings. Been a while since I've had some good feelings on the golf course. So
they're just around the corner, baby.
Exactly. Thanks,
just around the corner. Excellent stuff. Well, that's it from us for now. We'll be back next week to reflect on the US Open and look ahead to the next European Tour event on the Race to Dubai, which Nick said is the BMW International Open from Nordeichenried in Munich. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. But for now, from Nick Doherty.
Thank you, Rob.
Amazon. Myself, Robert Lee. Have a great week. Enjoy the US Open, Chambers Bay. It's going to be different.